Today, I thought we would start with Luke chapter 10 first. And the reason being, because Jesus tells these 70 disciples that otherwise we don't hear anything about them except this account here, but there were 70 disciples that he tells them to go ahead, which is obviously where he's about to be going, which Kaufman was confident that this was in this Perean area, and to go there and evangelize the people. And the reason why I'm reading this today is because he tells them to eat whatever food they put before you. Don't turn away from any food. So that's obvious. He wouldn't have to say that to any of the Jews. So obviously, he was sending them out to go and to teach the Gentiles who were receptive to the message about the coming of God's kingdom at that time. And so there were Gentiles that they were more like integrated, I think we would call it, here east of the Jordan. And there were Gentiles that lived all amongst the Jews east of, here is Jerusalem, in east of the Jordan River, in this Perean area, and it shows to have quite a few mountainous region here. But anyway, there were quite a few Gentiles dispersed among the Jews. And Jesus was telling these 70, I don't know of an example that he told the apostles, and that would be a reason why Peter in Acts chapter 10 is so hesitant, even with the vision and the trance that he's in. And he says, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." But Jesus had already broken the ice, sending these 70, at least partially, to Gentiles. It'd be Jews and Gentiles, but telling them, you know, whatever house welcomes you in, you go in and you eat whatever foods they put before you. And Kaufman's comment on the reasoning was it was so close. Maybe this was about a year before he was crucified. It was the last 3 to 6 months is when Jesus then went to this Perea. But it says here in this passage that he sent the 70 ahead of him where he would be going in the future. And maybe it would be 6 months or something in the future that he would go to this Perean area. And it's thought maybe that he was there some 3 to 6 months. And then from there is when he went through Jericho, and then he went to Jerusalem for the last time after he was leaving this, what they call the Perean ministry. But anyway, the account is listed in Luke chapter 10, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. More than that, but I was just, that's where it ends on with Jesus telling them to eat whatever foods are put before them. But anyway, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And so it doesn't stay here where this is, but Kaufman was confident that it's this Perean area where Jesus would be going in maybe the next 6 months. And so he was sending these 70 out to break the ice, to prepare the way for him, and to be receptive even with the Gentiles with these words he's about to say. But verse 2, then Jesus said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road." But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And now here's the two verses while we're reading this. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. And then verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. So he says, eating and drinking such things as they give you, and eat such things as are set before you. So obviously, he's sending them to Gentiles because a Jew would not be serving any unclean foods anyway. And so Jesus had taught this, at least to these 70 disciples, that this barrier and this refrain from eating some kinds of meats, this barrier was going to be going away. And then this Acts chapter 10 is when God removes it once and for all and makes it very clear, which this is a dual message that God is teaching Peter here, that not only are there no longer any unclean foods or meats, now there are no unclean people. So the Gentiles are now going to be accepted into God's kingdom. Any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Yes. 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 That's right. That's right. And Kaufman, that I'll read here, that's in his commentary, he talks about here he goes into Cornelius's house, where before he would have walked, if he was meeting Cornelius or one of these Gentiles, he would have walked on the other side of the road to go around to not even get close to him. So, yeah, this is breaking down the food inhibitions, prohibitions, and also the people prohibitions. And so now they're going to, God is at least teaching them to fully integrate. Now, there is a division, I guess I might say, that arises that is still opposed, and they are the ones of the circumcision, and they are still commanding and requiring that for someone to be baptized before they can become a Christian, they have to be circumcised first. So there was still a group, and Paul talks about that. But anyway, the apostle Peter and Paul both have to fight this. That and it shouldn't have to be, because Peter sets everything straight in Acts chapter 11, and that should have been the final word, because he let everyone know, and then they agreed to this, but old habits die hard. And so there was still these ones of the circumcision that raised their ugly head and were still wanting to bind the old covenant on them, at least this the part of the circumcision. And so Paul was having to fight that for years into the future. But anyway, but God removes it all right here in Acts chapter 10. So we'll pick up here with verse 9, where we left off last week of Acts chapter 10. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So this is noon. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Kaufman said, "This, of course, is something utterly different from merely falling asleep. A trance implies a state in which the soul seems to be freed from the body, so that it can then perceive things which lie beyond the reach of the natural senses." Verse 11, And Peter saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Kaufman said, all kinds is the significant phrase regarding all those animals let down. In Leviticus 11, there is a list of clean and unclean animals. The Jews were forbidden to eat the unclean. The collection of creatures that Peter saw clearly consisted of many that were unclean. God was about to open Peter's eyes to the truth stressed by Paul that every creature of God is good to eat and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:4. So Paul keeps teaching this in the future over and over. Of course, this was no new doctrine discovered by the apostles. Jesus had plainly taught this in Luke chapter 10, but it took a miracle to get Peter to believe it. Now, Kaufman said that Jesus had taught this, but he was teaching this to the 70. I don't know of a passage that states that he taught this to the 12. I don't know. The way Peter receives this, he's never heard anything about any food restriction coming down and being eliminated. But anyway, he at least had taught it to other disciples, to these 70. But anyway, this is a strong teaching that Peter at first doesn't want to take, but he is receptive after a little urging and three times of this vision. A similar thing may also be noted in the fact of Peter's declaration on Pentecost that the promise of the gospel was to all who are afar off, plainly including the Gentiles. But it took this miracle before Peter could understand that this meant the Gentiles could receive the gospel without being circumcised in keeping the law of Moses. And he stated this phrase that the gospel is to all who are far off in Acts 2. But my thought and what I'm confident about is, you know, Jesus had said, he had told the apostles, don't worry about what you're going to say. You're going to go before kings and councils. Don't worry what you're going to say, because I will send the Helper and he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what to say. And I'm confident he was speaking through inspiration. The Holy Spirit was giving him those words. Anyway, what Kaufman's thought is either he didn't understand what he was saying when he said that the gospel is going to be to all who are far off. Either he didn't understand it or he didn't remember it. Well, it was the Holy Spirit was giving him those words. I'm going to say he didn't understand everything of what he was saying to realize that that was going to include Gentiles who had not converted to Judaism, because that's how they understood it. There was no problem with the Ethiopian eunuch for him to become a Christian. That was not an issue at all because he had converted to Judaism. But this is a different ballgame here with Cornelius and his household. Kaufman continues, wild beasts were generally understood as carnivorous animals. These were the ferocious animals of that area, such as lions and bears. They were considered unclean because they ate flesh and blood and were therefore inedible to the Jews. The creeping things were such creatures as snakes, lizards, and insects. Of these, a few, such as the locust or grasshopper, were counted as clean, while the majority of creeping things were unclean. Certain birds were allowed to be eaten, while others, such as owls and eagles, were considered unclean. Any questions or comments on any of these clean or unclean? Okay, verses 13 through 16. And the voice came to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Kaufman said, the command from heaven is for Peter to rise, kill, and eat, without distinction as to the animals being clean or unclean. The true teaching of this statement is that of the Old Testament commandments concerning the restrictions among animals that they have been removed. These steps are gradually preparing Peter for the acceptance of the Gentiles. And this was an ingenious teaching that with one somewhat simple teaching to eliminate two great barriers very simply. So that just, of course, shows the ingenious of God. And Kaufman continues, We never have to wonder what Peter was thinking. The very idea of eating one of these unclean animals was repulsive to Peter. He even carried it a step further in saying he had not eaten anything common, and common is a term used to indicate those things that were unclean but eaten by the Gentiles. Despite the teaching that Peter had just received from the Lord, that the commandments of Moses pertaining to diet are not binding on Christians, he still resisted the command of God. Peter had a difficult time realizing that at this very moment he was being taught some of the fundamental principles of Christianity. Either Peter did not understand, or else he did not remember his statement in the sermon on the day of Pentecost when he declared the promises of the gospel are to all who are far off, signifying the acceptance of the Gentiles by God. The voice from heaven surely put the Apostle Peter to thinking, if God commands you to do something, it is not impure or wrong. What men have always done or what their habitual behavior is usually determines their reaction to any given circumstance. Peter did not yet realize, despite all the teaching he'd received from the Lord, that the Mosaic restrictions on diet were never binding on Christians. Therefore, based upon that misconception on his part, Peter's refusal seemed perfectly right and proper to him, but it was wrong. God, at that very moment, was in the act of teaching him the fundamentals of Christianity. Any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Yeah. Yes, yes. You know, the comment that Kaufman made here is, we never have to wonder what Peter was thinking because he let everybody know because he spoke up and, you know, he was boisterous and he did not keep his thoughts to himself. He let everybody know exactly what he was thinking. That's right. That's right. Yes. Yes. And then to his credit, what does he do? He takes the correction. Unlike, unfortunately, many today, you know, to their detriment, of course. We need to take the correction from God as Peter took it. And yes. Yes. That's right. You're not authorized. Okay, if there are no other comments or questions,